بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Still discussing a few of the major signs for Qiyamah. Dukhan. At this time, after the house will, in the west and east will sink into the earth, the skies will be covered with a dense fog which will envelop the earth for 40 days. All Muslims will develop cold as a result of the fog, and all disbelievers will lapse into unconsciousness. Some will recover after a day, while others will after 2 or 3 days. Number 6, the rising of the sun in the west. Among the major signs of Qiyamah is the rising of the sun from the west. It is reported in a hadith that the night preceding the rising of the sun from the west will be prolonged. This extended duration of the night will instill restlessness and fear into humans and animals. Children will awaken, crying. Travelers will tire and people will repent for their sins on seeing these signs. At the end of this long night, the sun will rise the following morning from the west. The rays of the sun will be very dull. It will more or less reach its meridian and then again set in the west. Thereafter it will rise in the east as usual. When this event occurs, neither will acceptance of Iman nor Tawbah be valid. Tabatul Ard, the beast from the earth. After the rising of the sun in the west, an earthquake will grip Mount Safa in Makkah Mukarramah. The mountain will split open and a strange beast will emerge. This animal will speak to the people. With the asa of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, it will draw a glittering line on the forehead of the Muslims. With the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, this animal will stamp the noses or necks of the disbelievers, due to which their faces will be blackened. Number 8, the breeze. After the disappearance of this creature, a very fresh and fragrant breeze will emanate from the south. Its effect will be that all the believers will pass away, and there will remain no person to differentiate between virtue and evil. Number 9, the reign of the people of Habesha Abyssinia. After the death of all Muslims, the world will be filled with disbelievers. Now the world will come under the domination and the people of Habesha will rule under their domination. They will destroy the Kaaba Sharif and remove the treasures buried under it. The world will be plunged into immorality, evil and corruption. People will satisfy their carnal desires in public like animals. The Quran Kareem will be raised, so that no portion of the Quran will be seen to be written in any book. There will remain no believers, and this will be the worst era of moral degeneration and oppression. There will also be severe sickness and disease. And the last bit, the raging fire, the last sign of Qiyamah, is that a large and raging fire will commence in Aden, in Yemen, which will turn the people towards the plains of resurrection. Qiyamah will now take place. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 18 para, 18 Jews was recited, commenting from Surah Mu'minun. In the ayats before this, in the verses before this, in Surah Hajj, in the Surah before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned about Sha'air Allah, the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the foundations of which a person's Iman is made. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are the people of Iman? They are the successful ones, but what qualities they have got. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions 6 or 7 qualities of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off saying that their believers are 100% successful in this world also and in the year after. And the greatest success in the year after is Firdaus, the highest levels of Jannat, which these people will inherit and they will live in there forever and forever. And the qualities they will have, number 1, fi salatihim khashi'un, they will have khushu, concentration and devotion in their salat. Number 2, they will turn away from futile things, things which are a waste of time, which doesn't benefit a person, especially of the tongue, of the eyes. They will be careful and guard it and look after it. Number 3, they will be fulfilling their zakat, the wealth, the money will be taken out, the 2.5% and given. Number 4, they will be protecting their private parts. They will not be engaged in immorality and immodesty. They will fulfill their desires with their wives, but they don't become the object of their life. And anybody who exceeds the bounds, he doesn't get involved in anything else, whether it's homosexuality, lesbianism, masturbation, pornography, all of these evil actions, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, they have exceeded the bounds. Even in the halal wives, a person during her menses, or anal intercourse with one's wife, this is also not permissible. Ulama say, all comes under this ayat, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, they are the ones who have exceeded the bounds. And then those people who are looking after the amanat and trust, and the pacts and promises which they have made with people, they make sure they fulfill them. And the last quality Allah mentions, they are ones who are looking after the times of their salat. They are particular at the time, whatever time is namaz, they are reading it on the time. Some ulama have mentioned that actually Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an ishara and a sign towards six qualities the people of Iman have got. Number one is that they look after their hearts. Fi salatim khashun means they look after their hearts. Even in salat also, which is the most important time, their heart. But it means at all times, as Hazrat is speaking after Asr, that our thoughts, we have to look after it. So they are looking after their hearts. And number two, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ They are looking after their tongues. They're very particular how they use their tongue. And number three, their wealth. They are earning it in the right way and they are spending it in the right way. So their wealth, their hearts, their tongues, their private parts, فُرُوشِمْ لِحَافِذُونَ That is their chastity and modesty. They are very particular about that. And أَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَهَدِيمْ رَعُونَ All the promises and the pacts, the trust which they have got with people, they fulfill the trust with people. And any pacts and promises they have made with people, they are very particular to look after it. And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ Their time. They look after their time. So when a person looks after these things, his time, his heart, his tongue, his wealth, his chastity, and he's looking after his pacts and his business deals, then this person here will be the person who will attain Jannah, the highest levels of Jannah with Firdaus. Allah make us among those people. How will a person now get these qualities? So the ulama say that a person has to understand where he came from, and Allah Ta'ala created him, and how Allah created him in the most amazing way. Yeah, Allah mentions the details how Allah Ta'ala created him, and he realizes that Allah created me, and eventually I'm going to pass away, and my life and death lies in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in between that life also, whatever bounties I have got, this all come from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How Allah created the heavens and the earth, and the water which I am getting in the world, and all the different types of food which I am getting. All of these are the favors of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Even the animals which Allah has created, and the milk which comes out from the animal, and all the different benefits from the animals, all of this I am acquiring. The reason for this is to become a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given me these bounties, so I must become His servant. So when a person ponders over these things, automatically he will become a true believer, and now he will bring these qualities into his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you want to see the success, look at the past nations, look at the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. Now Allah mentions the incidence of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam to reiterate this point. That the successful people were those who had those qualities. And the ones who did not have these qualities, eventually in this world they were also destroyed. And in the year after there is complete destruction for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and how he called his people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to his people, speaks about those people, how eventually they were destroyed. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا تَتْرَى We send Anbiya alayhi salam one after the other. Whenever the Anbiya alayhi salam came, some people denied them and they destroyed themselves. And those who followed the path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were successful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions especially have istiqamah and steadfastness. And how will a person do this? By the food a person eats. Ya ayyuha ar-rusul kulu min at-tayyibat. O messengers, eat from the pure and the wholesome food. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention halal. Because halal was obvious for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama say that three different addresses Allah makes in the Quran. One place Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nas kulu mimma fil ardi halal and tayyiba. O people, generally Allah tells, eat halal and tayyib. Then one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha al-ladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Allah addresses the people of Iman. That make sure you are eating pure and wholesome food. And now in this ayat, Allah ta'ala addresses the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They're not Anbiya, the Rasuls, which are even higher than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. That you too have to be careful about your food. And yet tayyibat ulama say means, must be halal, that's definite. And tayyib means it must be pure, free from any doubt. Mustn't even be doubting their food. And also pure, wholesome food, healthy food, which is beneficial for the body of a person. This is also included in tayyib. And as I mentioned once, that Muhammad Sula rahmatullahi mentioned also, it must be tasty also. When a person has tasty food, then it also has an effect on the body. A person enjoys it, and he digests much better, and it's benefit for the body of a person. And the definite effect of this is wa'amalu saliha. A person will be able to do good actions, righteous actions, because he's eating the correct food. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who do not believe in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, finally what is their final result? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the day of Qiyamah. Before that Allah ta'ala mentions that the other bounties which Allah gave us, أَنْشَأَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ The ears, the eyes and the hearts, which we had mentioned before, that Allah had given us our ears so we can listen and hear the signs of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the eyes so that we can see the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the heart so a person could ponder. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are using your eyes, but you're not looking. You're not seeing what you're supposed to see. You are using your ears, but you're not using it how you're supposed to be using it. And your heart, you are thinking about everything, but what you're supposed to be thinking about, pondering about Allah's Qudrat, about the life of the year after, you're not using it. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ Very little bit of shukr you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you will continue like this a time will come when death will come to you now. And then you will say, Rabbi Raji'un, oh Allah, please return me back in this world. Now I will do good actions. I had enough time. It will be said, Kalla, never ever, this is impossible. These are only words which a person is saying. And now you have to remain in the place of Barzakh, the life of the grave, till the day of Qiyamah. And then when the trumpet is blown now, there won't be any family ties amongst people that this person will help and assist me. People don't even ask regarding one another. Everyone will be nafsi, nafsi, my own life, my own, myself, myself. I've got to worry about myself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the final result of the disbelievers, or those people who made a joke of the ayat and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started making a mock of it. Hatta ansokum zikri. That made you forget remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were laughing and joking and passing your time. And especially when you heard about akhirat and the life of the year after, then it was a big joke for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you were in the grave, or you'll be asking one another, that how long did you people live in the world? On the day of Qiyamah, how will you live? How many years you lived in the world? Somebody will say, no, we live one day only. Only a portion of a day. It was so short, that life of the world. You can't even believe it. Then another person will say, no, it wasn't so short, but you definitely lived a very, very short while in this world. And Allah says, فَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think we created you in vain just to pass your time and you're not going to return to us? No, definitely we're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much have you prepared for that day? So Allah ta'ala says at the end of the surah, لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. The kuffar and those who denied it, they will never be successful. And on the other hand, the believers will be completely successful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make this dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرُ وَارْحَمُ أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. Oh Allah, we got faults and weaknesses. Forgive us. Have mercy upon us. And you are the best of those who have got mercy. As Rakim Sahib rahmatullah is to encourage to read this dua, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the greatest, in the greatest book, the greatest Rasul, Allah ta'ala has given us the best of du'as. رَبِّ اغْفِرُ وَارْحَمُ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. Allah give us tawfiq to read this dua in abundance. Then the next surah is Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Nur, light, that now a person wants to get divine light. The surah before Allah said, you want to be a successful, you've got iman in yourself, you've got light in you. So the one quality to create light within oneself, or this whole surah, is how can a person develop the spiritual light? And shaitan makes an effort to remove this light from a person. And one way this light, this divine light, the spiritual light which is in a person, how it is removed, one of the greatest harms is the mixing of men and women, zina, fornication and adultery. So right in the beginning Allah mentions there's a punishment to show such a severe sin it is, a zaniya to a zani. And here the amazing thing is Allah mentions the woman first. In the Quran Sharif, everywhere Allah mentions the male first. But when it comes to zina, Allah mentions the woman first. Because when a woman becomes immoral and immodest, and she, Allah has placed a veil of haya and shame over her, and now when she goes out of that bounds, and she will be the one now calling other people towards evil. So she will be like the cause of it. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that her doing that action, because she's supposed to have more haya in her. And for her to do this action is much more evil. And when it comes to stealing, Allah mentions the male first. Because the male has got normally more power, ability to earn. And now he steals. So his hand will be cut off. So Allah mentions the male first. They were sariqu wa sariqatu. When it comes to haya and shame, the woman, because she's got this veil of chastity and modesty more in her to a greater extent. So for her to do evil is worse. Allah says, both of them, male and female, you take them and you must flog them in front of people. And don't be in the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't have any mercy in your heart regarding them. They have to be flogged. 100 lashes they must be given if they are unmarried. And if they are married, then they will be actually stoned to death in public view. Because what a crime they have done. They've caused so much of harm to society. And to purify them, for them, that light which they have got inside themselves, they've completely destroyed it. They've extinguished that light of iman within themselves. When a person is involved in zina, in fornication, his iman comes out of the body and leaves the person. Imagine what is in that condition a person has to pass away. Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. Then if he comes back to a person, eventually comes in a very, very weak state, a weakened state, if Allah wants to return back to a person. So harmful is this action. Today, unfortunately, in the whole world, it has become so common. So Allah says this evil quality. But however, it must not be also. So this is one quality which will remove this light from a person. Another thing which will remove it is now, to falsely accuse somebody. Now we say, oh, this person is committing zina, that person is committing zina. We just accuse anybody. That's also a severe sin. And you need four witnesses. If you are somebody really committed that action, if you can't bring four witnesses, you yourself will be lashed in public. That how could you have accused an innocent person? Even if the person is not so innocent. But we can't just be discussing all of these things in public and making a show of it and looking for the faults of people, especially when it comes to these matters. And then we are passing remarks about other people. And even worse is when a person that attacks the honor and integrity of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the incident of ifk, where certain people accused Aisha radiallahu anha, na'udhu billah, of committing this evil action. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 10 ayat of the Quran Sharif down to prove her innocence. Till the day of Qiyamah now, the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha and all Azwadi Mutahharat has been proven. And unfortunately, those Shias who speak ill of Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah ta'ala says that, don't think those people who are bringing this accusation, they are small jamaat amongst you. لا تحسبوا شر لكم. Don't think it's an evil thing for you people, because your rank is increasing, your status is going up. Even till today, unfortunately, this group of people who speak ill of Aisha radiallahu anha, they are still existent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the believers heard about this, why didn't they think of themselves goodness? And why didn't they say, هذا إفكم مبين? This is a complete open lie and accusation. And why don't they bring four witnesses? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this quality is of spreading immorality amongst regarding the people of Iman is a very severe sin. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. For people who love to spread this evil and immorality, who like to make stories, for them will be a very severe punishment in this worldly life also and in the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly well what you are doing, whereas you do not know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that to keep this light, to keep this light in the heart of a person also, we must try to help and assist one another. Sometimes a person is in difficulty. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his own cousin, Mista radiallahu anhu, he was also one of those who was accused as Aisha radiallahu anha of this evil action. He was a sincere believer, he was a Badri Sahabi. He made an error. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to help and assist him, but he got involved in this when the ayahs came down to free Aisha radiallahu anha from these accusations. Abu Bakr was extremely hurt. How could he have done this? So he took a qasam and an oath, I will never help this person in future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show us akhlaq and character, and how will a person acquire the highest levels of character. Allah said, don't take such qasams and oaths, but will ya'afu, forgive the person openly, and even in your heart, cleanse your heart of all of this. Don't you love Allah must forgive you? When you will learn to forgive other people, Allah will forgive you. In life, we will always have certain people who will cause harm to us, but if we can bring ourselves to even assisting those people who are causing harm to us, SubhanAllah, this will create so much of light in the heart of a person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where this light is actually found is in the houses of the people. That is why there are certain laws Allah ta'ala has made, that you don't enter a person's house without permission because of the eyes. A person's gaze will fall now onto that eyes. The honor of that person will be taken away. Your own spiritual light will be destroyed. The light which Allah has kept within a person. And so there are certain laws in the surah. Few places Allah mentions about the homes and the certain laws regarding the homes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to protect this light in the heart of a person, look after your gazes. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Look after your gazes and protect your private parts. Save your chastity by looking after your gazes. As Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, the actual thing is to protect one's private parts, to save oneself from zina and adultery and masturbation and all of these things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so kind to us that from the roots Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut it off. They don't even look. When the person starts looking, that is when he starts falling, and now eventually he will fall into evil. As it used to say, like when a person goes on an escalator, if you go onto the top floor and you put your leg on there, once you put your leg, automatically you're going to go to the bottom floor. So when a person looks at a woman, now he's fallen in love with her. So from the top floor, he's going to go to the bottom floor. He's going to start getting involved in evil. Without even him realizing it, he will automatically fall into evil. Allah protect and save us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the women also, they must look after their gazes, and they must protect their private parts, and they must, their clothing, they must make sure they are covering themselves correctly. So here the laws of sitr are mentioned, that how must a woman cover herself, the whole body of a woman is a sitr, in front of, for example, other males, or even in front of non-Muslim people, except her face and her hands. This is not part of the sitr, but there is isparda, there is a difference between the two. A sitr means, at a general time, the woman's body must be covered. Even if she's in front of a non-Muslim worker, her hands must be covered, her arms must be covered. And if a woman are very negligent regarding these matters, her hair must be covered also. Her face can be open and her hands can be left open in front of them, whether it's non-Muslim woman, etc. And even in front of any men, strange men, the whole body is a satr. For her salat also, the whole body is a satr, has to be covered. And when she leaves her home and she comes in front of other people, then there is a law of hijab which comes in the 22nd para, that a woman must even cover her face, because the beauty of the woman is in the face. So that also must be covered. So that is mentioned in the 22nd para. And then here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that even her walking, and when she is walking also, her anklets which she is wearing, she must be very particular. It doesn't make any noises, because this will also attract and arouse the desire of men. And this will also destroy that light in the heart of a man. So the ulama say from here, to a greater extent, a woman has to be careful about her voice when she is speaking. If the anklet will cause an effect in the heart of man, the two things which definitely arouse the instincts of man, sexual instincts of man, one is music and the other one is the voice of a woman. And this can completely change a person's heart. So therefore a person has to be very particular. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this matters of lust, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O believers, every one of you must make tawbah and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so you will be successful. That means the matter of lust is such a thing, it catches every person and it doesn't even realize it. And as long as a person is not making tawbah, he's not turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually a person starts falling and slipping, not realizing where and where it can lead a person to. He just starts off innocently. He says, I'm innocent, I got nothing in my heart. But where and where it leads a person to, eventually when a person falls, they say where the mud is thick, even the elephant can slip there. So nobody must ever trust himself when it comes to regarding the matters of women. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayhi, he actually said that when a woman writes a letter to me also, he said, I actually feel a difference in my nafs. And I make tawbah and istighfar after the day. I have to answer the letters, it's a necessity. The people are asking fatwas or they're asking masalas. But he says, actually when a man writes a letter to me and a woman writes, I can actually feel a difference in my nafs. These were people whose hearts were so pure. And he says, because of that, I make tawbah after the day. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, we should be very, very particular about the matters with regards to these things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for this light also, make nikah common amongst you people. Even the ayama, those who are unmarried, means those who are not married originally, and those who have got married and their husbands passed away, try to make the nikah and make this common. It is mentioned amongst Sahaba radiallahu anhum that there was very few unmarried. You wouldn't get unmarried women. Every woman, as soon as the husbands would pass away, somebody would, after they eat, that would get married to them. So it was a society of complete purity. There was no unmarried people, so then there was no zina taking place, there was no immorality taking place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person is poor also, but he gets married to save himself in his chastity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him rich, and Allah will fulfill his needs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this nur and this light, where will a person get it? He will get it in the company of the pious friends, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi buyutin, in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the masajid, in the khankas, in the tablighi marakis, in the places where this nur is being distributed. Person was set in those places, and people who in the company of those people who are making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, they are not worried about business and all of those things. They are always engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There a person will get this light. And as Hazrat mentions, that you won't get men of steel there, but you will get men of iman who will come out, men of this light. These are men of iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually, then he mentions that how Allah ta'ala sends down the rains and life comes to the ground. Similarly, when a person has got this iman, this light in his heart, then life comes into a person, then a person is able to do all actions. And then finally, the final result of this is that people who have got this light in themselves, as soon as the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, they say, Sami'ana wa ata'ana. We heard and we obey. Wa ulaika humul muflihun. They are the ones who are successful compared to those people who will make, they will try to make certain kind of excuses. I can't do it because of this. They don't have that light in their heart, so they are not able to do it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that those people who will have this light in them, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in this world, will give them domination. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah will make them the khalifa on the earth. Allah will give them dominance on the earth. And this happened in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how Allah gave them dominance. And they had this light in their heart. Then they went with ruhanis and spirituality, and they destroyed the superpowers of the world. And Allah's help and assistance was with them. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to protect this light, it's not only for the people who are of age, and who have got sexual desires in them. Even the young children who are not even mature, they also must look after this. So Allah has given them certain laws regarding how they must enter a house, how they must leave the house, to protect the izzat of people also. And the old ladies also who can't even do anything, how they also must be remain pure. Even at this age also, if they cover themselves also is better. So that there must not be any kind of immorality and immodesty in any society. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again regarding the houses, who can enter your house, who can't enter your house. And when you enter the houses to bring this light alive, make salam. Salam is a very great gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full of blessings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one great thing also for this light is the respect and honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't call Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam like how you call one another. And when you go in the majlis and gathering of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, you can't just leave that gathering. If you are forced to leave that gathering, ask permission from Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. So the highest levels of respect must be given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If not, then a person is calling himself towards destruction. That light which is in a person of iman will be extinguished from a person. So in short, this whole surah explains to us the different aspects and angles of how can light come into a person's heart. when this light of Iman comes in a person, then this person will be completely successful in this world and the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.